The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that wedding. Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Hello. Thank you for joining us. We're happy you're here. It is a Yawa today, which is exciting because it's our last one of 2020.
That's crazy pants.
And the last episode of 2020. And I feel like we've been looking into the future so much that, like, I in my head, it's already 2021, halfway through the year. Like, we're there because I'm just, like, forecasting, like, oh, when this happens, this happens, and this month. But we're going to bring it back. We're going to finish out the year strong.
You know, man, this year, I didn't really realize this, Christy. We kind of need to have a little bit of a moment here and, you know, say our goodbyes to 2020, which I'm sure most of us are pretty frigging happy to say goodbye to. It hasn't all been bad.
No.
Okay.
It hasn't
I'm
all
sure
been
that
bad.
If we all search within, there are a lot of wonderful things that happened this year.
We're going to start off our silver linings with the fact that we're here and we're alive. That's
we're
where we're
here.
We're starting off.
And we're alive. And you know what? I want to say, actually, for the podcast itself, it has grown a lot. Actually, it's done. If you look at one of those graphs, right? It was like boop, 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 going up, 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 up. And then COVID hit and it went up, 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 up. And then it kind of just like flatlined for a while, because at first everybody's like, podcast, podcast, listen to podcasts. But I think just because of our subject matter, and a lot of you out there had to postpone, or a lot of people just completely canceled, I think for some, it was a bit of like, I don't want to listen to anything about weddings right now because it's really making me sad.
Right. Yeah, or just like, scratch it. Here I was listening to episodes thinking I'm in the final stretch and I've got 2 months left and I'm going to listen to all the things about final details. And then instead you're like, oh, I'm adding 16 months to this. So I'm just going to take a break altogether. We get it. Well, I mean, I've taken a break from my favorite go-to podcast just from a lack of commute in a way. You know, I'm not in my car for long periods of time anymore. I'm not working out for long periods of time anymore. Like, everything in my daily schedule has shifted. So podcasts have come and gone during this year. But we survived.
Yes.
As a podcast, we survived. We never missed a Wednesday, and we never had a lack of things to talk about, both COVID-related and not COVID-related. I think we did a pretty good job of adding in a good amount of the not COVID-related ones.
We tried. And I think that for me, you know, through all the shit this year that went down, this podcast and you listening kept a level of, like, optimism for me. I'm like, I love this. It's here. And the people who continued and kept listening were, you know, the ride or die peeps with us. And we got so much more interactive with our audience this year. Like, we didn't start doing those Instagram lives, Christy, until we were in shelter in place. Like, literally, that's when we started doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh my gosh, it feels
sticking.
Like forever ago.
I know. So
yeah, that
I'm
was
really
also
thankful.
When we thought we were only going to do like 3 or 4. You were like, let's
just do
them on Saturdays while we're home. And I was in Texas and we were just like, it's kind of a crazy time. Let's just do them on Saturdays. And then.
Well, because we weren't going to any weddings.
We kept doing them.
We kept doing them. And so this has been a positive thing. Moving to this new home, my family and I were just like, we love it so, so, so much. So that was a really awesome thing that happened in my life too. So, I mean, 2020 had some good stuff amidst the dark in this world and our country.
Yes. Actually, I'm going to put together a list of, I love all the top 10 lists or like whatever happens at the end of the year always, you know, like HuffPost and New York Times put out like the year-long retrospective lists. I love those. Yeah. And so I was thinking I'm going to include some of my favorites in this month's Patreon patron newsletter that I do. And I'm also going to include a top 10 like podcast moments or episodes of mine and ours, just because it has been like the year that felt like 10 years. So here are some of the highs and the things that we thought were really awesome from 2020. So I'm going to include that in the newsletter.
Yeah.
Speaking of Patreon, that and that newsletter and our Zoom call this month, we love our patrons so much. We have some new ones to shout out to. But for those of you that are thinking, what is Patreon? What is this I hear? It's super easy. It's a way to support our podcast with the average number is $5 a month, and it helps us so much from every patron. $5 a month, that's less than a latte. And this newsletter that I put together at the end of most months, I'm going to try to get it out early so that your Spotify link can be in it with all the holiday songs.
The playlist.
Yes.
I only threw like two of them in there because I had to.
Yeah, maybe of course. Three, two. So that'll be in this one too. But I put a lot of time into it, and we put a lot of time into our connections with the patrons. And instead of a bonus episode this month, we did a Zoom call with some of our patrons who could participate, including some of the newest group who's joined us there. So thank you. And this is a shout out to our new patrons, Molly L, Annie F, Lindsay L. I think two out of three of those were on the Zoom call. Katie N, Marissa M, and Rachel R. Thank you for joining the ranks of the patrons. And we love you. And we hope more people join.
Yes. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. And we depend on you. No pressure. No pressure on that. Today's Yawa is very much centered around what we've been getting. We've always gotten some emails about this subject, but we've been getting a ton. And I think it has a lot to do with the holidays. I think it has a lot to do with the fact that people are getting sick or that family dynamics are shifting in terms of like, I mean, I know personally for me, like I'm not having my whole family over for Christmas, and that's really hard for people to wrap their brains around. Some people are really put off by it.
People and in your family, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's not safe. It's just not safe. And so anyway, most of today's Yawa is centered around this family drama. Right? Tough decisions about a lot of mostly moving a wedding date.
Mm-hmm. You can't please everyone.
You can't please everyone.
Sometimes
and
just please no one.
Yeah, just please yourself.
We have a voicemail. We have two emails about that. And then we have another email about money, which was
money.
So well put together. And I was so impressed with it. And I also put a lot of thought into the response. And then we have another email from one of our lovely patrons and a recent bride with her insight and thoughts about her wedding day, which is lovely to hear from. And speaking of, if you have photos listening, listeners, dear, dear listeners, if you have photos of your proposal, your engagement, your wedding day, anything that you love and is loosely wedding related and you want us to share it, I would love to. We would love to put it on our Instagram grid with credit
and Facebook.
And Facebook, and especially a caption, like anything that you want to say about this day was awesome because, or my photographer did this and it was so great, or I was really surprised that I loved, or my personal favorite prompt. Your podcast helped me in the following ways. And I will include the photo, the credit, and what you say as the caption, along with raves and love. And it would help us to keep our Instagram feed and our social media dynamic and personal. And we also just love seeing your photos and hearing from you. So please don't be shy. Send those our way.
Yes, I love it. Hey, it's my favorite time of the episode, reviews.
And when please she drinks.
And when I drink.
She's not drinking. She's working out.
I'm actually not. I was literally going to work out because we were supposed to record an hour later. I know. I was like, oh, I'm going to hop on the Stairmaster right now. And she texts me like, I'm on.
I know. I'm sorry. Like, I'm
on what?
On drugs. On the computer.
Are you that venue owner? Is it you?
Yeah.
Do you have a cocaine problem?
Me.
Okay. All right. Let's do this. We have three here. And one of them was posted on my wedding anniversary, Christy.
How thoughtful.
Can you guess which one?
This first one that you're going to read?
That is correct, sir.
Excellent.
So the subject is this podcast save my analytical
butt.
My analytical ass,
yep.
Maybe. The Apple cut it off, so I couldn't expand on it and make it bigger, but I'm so wondering what it ends with. But anywho's, this is from K Corwin 93, 5 stars. I am someone who is very into research. So when I got engaged two months ago, I searched the entire internet for the best wedding podcast. This one is the one. Mm. The way everything is broken down into topics is incredible because you can binge the episodes that are pertinent to the exact step of the process you're going through in that moment. Picking a venue, figuring out a prenup, don't know why you're so stressed out? Michelle and Christy have multiple episodes targeted for your exact needs. What's more, if they don't have an episode about what you need, you can send them questions or they will even talk to you over Skype. These ladies are crazy dedicated and over the top knowledgeable about the whole gamut of wedding planning topics. Not only that, they're absolutely hilarious. I have learned and I'm entertained.
Yes.
Give them a listen. You won't regret it. Hashtag plan that wedding.
Love it. They are crazy and dedicated. They are crazy dedicated. Yes,
Christy
we are.
Is over the top.
Yes, we are.
Thank you so much. Christy?
Yes, our next one, also in November. Thank you. From Emmy Girly, so knowledgeable, 5 stars. I've been binging this podcast the past few days, and these two ladies are obviously very knowledgeable and entertaining at the same time. So much useful information to help people planning weddings. I like
that
it.
That's just really accurate, I would like to say. Thank you, Emmy Girly. And the last one we'll read today, kids, is from KT Nordy, and the subject is, or the title, I don't know. So happy I found this podcast. 5 stars. I stumbled across this podcast while researching my dream DJ company, The Flashdance. They had a link on their website to the episode they were featured on, and I was immediately hooked. You guys make planning a wedding fun, enjoyable, and less stressful, even during this darn pandemic. I feel educated and inspired after listening to almost all the episodes, and I have applied the, quote, make a choice and move on advice to all aspects of my life. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for all your professional insight and knowledge. And yes, Matthew Rubino from The Flashdance will be our DJ for our New Year's Eve wedding next year. OMG, you're going to have the best wedding ever. Just want to say that. I love Matthew. Actually, when I read this this review, I happened to be partaking in beverages one evening and ignoring my guests and looked at the reviews. And I texted Matthew right away. I'm like, look! And I screenshotted it. He's like, hell yeah! We were really both excited. So thank you, KT Nordy. That's so exciting.
New Year's Eve. What a get.
Dude, it's going to be off the hook. Kind of want to be at that wedding.
I knew you were going to say that.
I love him.
Just invite her.
Just invite me. Where is this wedding going to be? Anyway, Thank you all for these reviews, and any that we haven't read, we read them, even if we haven't read them on the pod. Thank you so, so much. Leaving a review not only helps to, you know, boost our egos, but it does help get the word out to other people who need this podcast. So do your fellow humankind's
a favor,
and just write a review, because anybody getting married needs to listen, no? Don't you think?
I think, yes, do that. Good job. Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
Now for a voicemail, which we have had for a while. So thank you for sending this. Sorry, you sent it right after we recorded our last Yawa, so we've been sitting on it.
All right, let's take a listen, and then we will respond.
Hi, Christy and Michelle. It's Ainsley. I have a little bit of a problem. My wedding was originally scheduled for March 6th, 2021. We have a guest count of about 170, and obviously due to the pandemic, we rescheduled our reception to March 5th, 2022, and we were going to elope. My fiance got a little bit confused and thought that our elopement was going to have family involved. He thought that a micro wedding basically just meant like no reception or something. And he said, and I quote, "That would make me sad." And so we were just going to do an elopement plus a reception. There was a weird little miscommunication, and he thought that family was coming to the elopement anyway. So we kind of talked it out a little bit, and now family is coming. However, my parents are divorced, and I don't know how to go about keeping this elopement plus family secret from my dad and my grandma, my dad's mom, without causing a lot of trauma. My one and only idea is that I'm just gonna say no pictures, either like at the wedding or from the wedding or the elopement, like, are to be posted on Facebook, because like his mom is friends with my grandma, and it's a big mess. And I would love to have a little bit of guidance on this, because like I didn't want family there in the first place, just because like it would have gotten messy, and now it's messy. So any advice would be appreciated. Love you show. Bye.
This is a bit of a mess.
Yes,
right.
She said it was messy. We agree. It's a little messy. I wish we could talk to you to find out what the reasoning is for, not necessarily the reason, but I guess the main deliberation for not inviting your dad. Is it geography or, kind of just the relationship?
The parents are divorced. I can only deduce that dad and mom don't get along.
Is he invited to the party that they're doing afterwards, though? Because it sounds like more people are coming to that. So my listening to it afterwards, Michelle and I both kind of like paused, and we were like, oh, this is tricky, just to come up with a quick answer. Yes, you should say no pictures, but I'm leaning towards maybe also don't keep it an actual secret from your dad. Like, just tell him you're eloping, and, you know, there doesn't need to be any pictures of you hugging the 10 people that are there. You could send him a picture just of you and your partner and the officiant, but a secret will not be kept forever. This what like he is going to find out that you did this one way or the other. So I think
it's going to be 10 times worse.
I think do the elopement however you want, but take the secret part out of it. If you're not inviting him, you know, you have to own that and not invite him, but maybe just don't make it a secret. And if you feel like it's appropriate, involve him and his mom and his side of the family in a different way at the reception that you're planning on having later.
I mean, I think she's not even inviting him to the reception because she says, I don't know how to go about keeping this elopement plus family secret.
The elopement became plus family, though, right? So now it's more of a mini Moni. And I thought she was having a bigger reception later because it would make her fiance sad to not have any sort of party.
I mean,
maybe we're not understanding.
Well, we're not understanding, but I don't, it's what I'm going to say and what I think is happening is she's just going to have her mom at the elopement, which is the ceremony, and fiance's family. And she's not inviting her dad nor her grandmother. And that is, I can hear in your voice that you're really nervous about this. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what, this is a long time off, by the way. This is like over a year away. Things might change.
The secret is going to be heavy, though. Like,
yeah, it's going to eat you.
It's going to eat you before, during, and after the idea that he's going to find out. And chances are he is going to find out. And then you're going to have to like over explain and justify and backtrack and apologize and then feel like you shouldn't have had to apologize. I don't know. It gets messier when there's a secret involved.
And why do we keep this a secret from our dad? Like, are we trying to protect his feelings somehow? Do we feel like we need to be that protector and we wish we could invite him, but we can't? We want to feel loyal to our mother and then also, you know, protect dad and grandma, and there's guilt. And, you know, I think you just need to be up front. As scared as you are about his reaction or your grandmother's reaction or your mother's reaction, it's not going to be as bad as you fear it's going to be. And if it is bad, you can take it.
Mm-hmm.
You're an adult.
And time.
You're getting married.
Time. That always helps.
And there's time and that heals because no matter what, you all love each other. That's your dad. And whatever you decide, there has to be, you have to have your reasons for it. And dad has to, you know, either accept those or not. But you can't, you know, keep this secret going. I mean, that's a lie.
Yeah.
It is a lie. And it's going, and it's not good for your dad. It's not fair to him. And it's just, it's not good for you. So I have personal experience with this. I've tried so hard to protect my parents for so many years, and I finally made that decision not to. And it's hard at times, but you know what? They actually respect you. They might not tell it to your face, but they really do. So I don't know. There's a lot packed in here. There is a lot packed in here. And I am really sorry. You know, I can't apologize for this, but I mean, this voicemail came in, you know, toward the end of November, and we're now at the end of December. I'm not sure what's happened since then, since you left this voicemail. Maybe you can update us, but sorry we couldn't get to you sooner on this, and we would like to know kind of where you're at now with this. But I think for everyone listening, like, when it comes down to it, you've got to be honest. You've just got to be open and transparent. Hiding and telling your guests not to post on Facebook, like, that's just also putting them in a position. They don't have to post on Facebook. I mean, they don't have to be posting on social media. But then it's also like, well, what if he asks them? Or what if I run into grandma? Or, you know what I mean? Like,
someone always says something anyway. And you're going to be...
Someone always says something.
You're going to be married, you know, for the rest of your life is the idea. So at some point, it's going to...
Yeah, don't start it off this way, you know? Oh, sweet lady. Yeah, let us know what's going on with that. And thank you for calling in and leaving a voicemail.
Okay, next. So that starts us off with our family... There's some family drama in this entire episode. So this is the first one. I answered this one. Do you want to read it?
Thanks to both of you for your podcast. I used to be a wedding and event planner over 10 years ago and now have a big corporate job. But I'm planning my own wedding now, and it's been so much fun to catch up on wedding planning do's and don'ts with both of you. I listen nearly every day and love it. Even my fiancé listens with me often. But I need advice on quite the dilemma. background. My fiance and I have both been married once before and each have 3 kids. Oh, wow. This is like
the Brady Bunch.
The Brady Bunch. By the time we'd been dating 4 months, we knew we'd want to get married. When COVID hit, knowing we'd likely want to get married next summer and everything would be booked from reschedules, I started investigating pricing and availability of venues and vendors. We booked everything big before we got engaged: the venue, florist, rentals, photographer, videographer, and told no one because we were waiting to be engaged first. In the meantime, that's a big key here, guys. Mm-hmm. They told nobody that they had already started planning this wedding. In the meantime, his younger sister, she's 25, he's 39, was supposed to get married in the summer of 2020, but ended up rescheduling a few times, eventually settling on November of 21 with hopes of an earlier date opening up. Okay. I warned my fiance that, and again, at the time that she warned him, they were not officially engaged, that he should warn his family in some way in case the date that opened up for her would conflict with our date. And he didn't. And lo and behold, we got an email a couple months ago telling us her new date was August 23rd in San Diego.
San Diego.
San Diego, my son, San Diego. Ours is August 19th in Oregon. Oh, no.
It could be worse. It could be the exact same day. And that was my answer. Moving on. Just kidding.
Okay. He immediately called his sister and his mom and explained that we weren't telling anyone until we were officially engaged, but that he'd already had the wedding date planned for months. They weren't happy. Neither was I. But we agreed we'd find a way to make it work because there were 4 days in between and hopefully a new date would open up for her. Fast forward to today, and we've been engaged a month. Congratulations. And his sister calls drunk to tell us she's mad about the wedding and asks us to move ours ahead a year because her dad is paying $30,000. I'm paying $35,000 of my own money, by the way. And she feels we're rushing into things. We were upset, but chalked it up to a drunk moment. Until today, when his mom emails him saying his sister was just saying what they all felt. Ugh. And says that basically no one in his family is coming to our wedding because they're choosing his sister's and basically demands we move our wedding date. We don't want to move our wedding date, but I also feel it's important for his family to attend. At the same time, I'm so mad they won't try to make it work that I really don't want them there. Thanks to COVID, rescheduling and keeping our vendors is nearly impossible, and our date was our 2-year anniversary. So I'd be kind of sad to not get married that day. I don't know what to do. With kids in the picture, remember, there are 6 kids in this picture, we aren't willing to push the wedding out further. Do you have any advice? I'm lost on the right thing to do for us and his family. You see, people, communication.
It's complicated.
Don't keep secrets.
Okay, I said, thanks for writing in and listening, and congrats on your engagement. I know it's been a crazy time, but it is a thing to be celebrated, and the wedding is something to look forward to, no matter how it ends up happening. As I was reading your email, and this is true, Michelle, I was thinking, you know, I'm just going to tell her that they need to move their date for the sake of long-term, you know, relationships with the family, resentments, and rifts. It's a hit that you're just going to have to take, and in order to move forward on a good page with everyone. But then I read your last sentence, which was, with kids in the picture, we aren't willing to push the wedding out further. And then I thought, well, there's the answer, which this happens a lot, by the way. People email us with questions, but you already kind of know your answer. I think we just need to be affirming sometimes. And in this case, that's the answer. I respect that boundary. You and your fiance are adults. You have considered your options, your finances, and your children. You don't want to move your wedding. So don't. Like, that's where we are. How we got here was because there were some decisions made about not telling people and, you know, rescheduling dates and things opening up. But where we are now is you don't want to move your wedding. So you shouldn't then. His family has made their decision clear to you. I don't love maybe the way it was made clear to you, but it is clear now. And so now it's just a matter of drawing your line as a couple, the two of you, and sticking to it. Your wedding, in my opinion, might need to be reimagined a little bit. There's going to be fewer people, it sounds like. Maybe you make it more about you both and your kids coming together and starting a family, the eight of you. Maybe you still go to his sister's wedding. You can't make anyone do anything. You cannot change people's minds, but you can move forward with your decision as a united front confidently and without stoking the flames of a family fight. I totally understand that this is easier said than done, but you can do your best on that last one. You don't have to engage. You don't have to compete. You don't need to guilt trip anyone. They've made their decision clear. So now you need to do what's best for you and your kids. That is the guiding light that will, I imagine, will serve you as you navigate a blended family future. I hope this helps, and I hope you keep us posted. You can do this.
I mean, the fact of it's, and I don't think, like, this is now, this is a really difficult space for your fiance because that's his family. And now there's all sorts of emotions coming up, choosing one child over the other, blah, blah. You know what I mean? But it's interesting, too, because I'm looking at my calendar here. August 19th is a Thursday. August 23rd is a Monday. Oregon, San Diego. Like, they're not that far apart.
It's not impossible.
It's not impossible to for the family to do both weddings. You know, if it's a matter of his family not able to afford the travel, like, I don't know where the family lives. Do we know that? We don't know where the family lives. They could be in frigging another, I don't know. But it's not impossible to do both weddings. It's just not. You guys can go to her wedding, you know, and then she can come to yours.
It sounds like they are not the issue either. I mean, financially, you probably were always going to go to her wedding. So now you just spend that money sooner. And it's an inconvenience in the way that, like, oh, you're in your own wedding mode, but you can still make it happen. It's the fact that they are saying, we're only going to one and it's not yours. That is hurtful, of course. And it's not a great way to start things off. But you are adults and you're paying for your wedding yourself and you have your own kids to think about. So like it was said in the review at the beginning, make a decision and move on. You can do it.
Yeah. And, you know, this is, again, this is, you've got a ways. Time has a way of healing people and changing minds, not yours, but theirs. I think right now it's become this kind of battle over, like, what? You were doing what?
Yeah.
You didn't tell us? Well, what do you expect from us? And, like, this is your fault. And, this is your problem. Change your date.
And then to say, like, and you guys are rushing into it anyway. That's, like, uncalled for bullshit. That's her judgments.
That's judgment.
That doesn't matter. Don't let that affect you.
So if you're having your future sister-in-law listen to this, we think, we feel like if you all could just take into consideration, COVID has made life difficult for everyone in wedding planning. You know, your brother and future sister-in-law had this agreement and they chose to keep it between themselves until they got engaged. It doesn't matter why. You all are family. There are 4 days in between the two. There's not that many miles. It's a Thursday and a Monday. You can do both weddings. This can happen. It's not going to take away anything from yours, and it's not going to take anything away from yours. And you all are going to be family for the rest of your lives. So work it out. Make it happen. Keep your dates. Make it happen. That's what I say.
Boom.
Now stop fighting. You both knock it off right now before I stop this car and come back there and give you something to cry about.
The moms have spoken.
All right, that's it.
And now, a word from our sponsors. We're so happy to have you. Zola.
Zola. Zola makes wedding planning easier and less stressful by creating everything couples need all in one place. Wedding vendors, save the dates and invitations, free websites, registry, and more.
Why Zola? Well, we love Zola for so many reasons, and here are a few. You can find wedding vendors in your area. Fast track your search. Get it right.
Zola will start conversations with any vendor for you and explore save the dates and invitations. There are hundreds of beautiful, affordable designs.
And while you're looking at designs for your invitations and thinking about the way you want your wedding to look, you can also create a free wedding website that reflects your style. It's the easiest way to share details and updates with your guests about your wedding day.
Go to Zola.com/bigwedding. That's Zola.com/bigwedding. And
use the promo code SAVE50, SAVE50, to get 50% off your save the dates. You can also get free personalized paper samples before you purchase. That's Zola.com/bigwedding. Promo code SAVE50.
Thank you, Zola. So now we've got another email here.
This one you answered, right? We were like splitting up.
Oh, yeah. I answered this one. Okay.
Yes, go ahead. There was some back and forth. So this is, we're engaged with a date and his two siblings have also gotten engaged. Similar theme. See what
there's
we did there?
There's a pattern here. Yep.
Hi, ladies. I'm so grateful I found your podcast a few weeks ago. You're inspiring and have made it easy for me to get through 140 episodes in less than a week.
What?
Sorry, I just like choked a little.
140 episodes in less than a week.
It's maybe she listens to it fast. You know how you can listen to podcasts really fast and then they just sound like this the whole time? And she speeds us up. Okay, it's so funny to listen from the beginning because it's a little time capsule. Anyway, to my question, I'm sure you guys have gotten so many questions about pushing weddings back due to the pandemic, but I'm torn on pushing our wedding up a full year. The planned date currently is November 5th, 2022, and we're thinking of moving it back to 2021. The biggest reason is that we've been together for a while, and I'm honestly just really excited to marry my best friend. Oh, well, we love that. That's the perfect reason to be excited. Also, since we've been engaged and shared with family our expected date, two of his siblings have gotten engaged. His sister and her fiance have been together for 2 years and have their own drama. And his brother and almost fiance aren't quite engaged, but they've already picked a date and a venue. So they are planning for spring and summer of 2022. Remember, hers was originally like November of 2022. I feel like it'll take away from the specialness of our day if it's the third wedding that year. And I don't want to burden people with the cost of another wedding in that same year. I like to think of myself as analytical and logical, but I just don't know what to do. Below are my pros and cons for moving the date, and I would love any input you fabulous ladies have. I will be happy marrying any time. I just want to maximize the enjoyment of the day for everyone involved. Pros, I get to marry my best friend sooner. So this is pros of moving it to November 2021. Mm-hmm. Friday weddings are cheaper, higher chance of being able to set up the day before. I can save time off for weddings and our Europe trip because she'll be able to save that time off. We'll be married for our Europe trip.
Wait, you have
to
say the part about her dad.
Oh, my dad's been planning a big European trip for our whole family for his retirement. That's pretty great. Yeah. So they would be married for that trip and for all the other family weddings. You know, and you only have to get one passport if you know which name you're going to put on it. That's a good one. It's a small detail, but I get it. Cons.
It's a pro.
Cons. We may feel like we're changing it for other people. And my fiance is pretty set on that. He doesn't want us to change our plans just for other people. I don't feel like it's that big of a deal, but I understand his feelings. The world may not be back to normal yet. in November 2021, and people will have to take Friday off and probably Thursday, and that is inconvenient in and of itself. I'm sure there are more than that that I haven't realized yet, but I would love your input. What do you think, Michelle?
I said, I love how your mind works. I love that you've put together the pros and cons list. And I also think it's lovely of you to think about the guests. It is a lot to attend 3 weddings in a year for many reasons. I get it. Of course, I do it all the time. Mm-hmm. Differently. More pros than cons, right? The thought of being newlyweds in Europe alone is a pretty good one, I have to say. The con specifically about the pandemic, that is the biggest one. At this point, I didn't know what size wedding she was planning, nor the state, right? I was curious about that because just to kind of know what's going on. Nor the date in 2021, but that's the biggest obstacle. Actually, I did know it now that you mention it. I guess I didn't read it well enough. Are you open to a small wedding in 21? And if so, go for it. But if a large guest count is of a high priority to you, then I would advise waiting until 22. I know that's probably not what you want to hear, but that's the safest route in my opinion. So she wrote back to me. She's so cute. And basically was what she said is that we never wanted a big wedding. 50-ish is this guest count that they have. So that's not an issue. And we're talking November 21 in the Chicago suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote back and I said, I think it's definitely better that you're wanting a smaller wedding. My advice is to go with 21, the November of 21 date, and to keep the guest list at 50. But also look at those 50 and divide them in half, right? Half of them being the ones that are your A-list. Like you have to have these people there. And the other half is like more of a B-list. Because if the pandemic is still in full force by early November of next year and you need to cut your list, you will already know who to cut. Like it'll be decided and it won't be this big difficult thing for you. But I am feeling optimistic about that time of year based on the talk and plans. And actually, it has happened now since I wrote this email of the vaccine rolling out. So my fingers are crossed. And I think, you know, you should move it up and have a small guest list.
I agree. I was going to say, as soon as she said it was at 50, I was like, I hope Michelle agrees with me on this one. And you do. I think you can plan for 2021 for all those reasons you stated. And on top of that, the fact that it's a smaller wedding. And I like the plan B as well with cutting 50 in half and just keeping that in mind in the case that you have to. Yeah, because it's not going to
be able to, it won't be able to be indoors, not in Chicago, not in November. Like clearly, you know, if it was like, oh, you know, it'll be frigging June in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, well, she could do outdoors, blah, blah, but you won't be able to. So, yeah, let us know. Let us know what you decide, lady. Thank you.
Good one. This episode is brought to you by Alpine Rings. And we love Alpine Rings. So here's the deal. Whether you're having a virtual wedding, hybrid wedding, mini-moni, elopement, maybe an elopement where half your family is coming and you're trying to keep it a secret. Who knows? You're probably going to need a ring. And if it's a men's ring that you need, a men's wedding band, we love the men's rings at Alpine Rings.
Yes. Go to alpinerings.com and use promo code BIGWEDDING15 and you're going to get 15% off. Site-wide, they are a veteran-owned wedding ring company offering a wide variety of men's wedding bands with authentic and rustic wood accents and inlays. Rings are constructed from durable and scratch-resistant materials such as tungsten. Hey, they have free shipping.
And free exchanges and a one-year warranty. And we're so proud to partner with them and offer our listeners a discount. Site-wide at 15% when you use the promo code BIGWEDDING15 at checkout. That also lets Alpine Rings know that we sent you and that you heard about them here. There's a direct link in our show notes for this episode on our website. And again, the promo code is BIGWEDDING15. Thank you, alpinerings.com.
All right. Okay. Third email. Let's do this.
This one is about
you answered it.
Budget. Go for it.
Yes. First off, I just want to say that I'm happy I found your podcast. I actually started listening to the show a few weeks before I got engaged because I knew it was coming, and especially considering COVID and venue availability, I wanted to be able to hit the ground running once he proposed. It has made the first step of wedding planning stress-free, and I feel like I have a lot of knowledge that I can share with my fiancé and my parents as we start to plan. I don't have a question so much as I am looking for general advice to soothe my nagging right brain. I have always been logical in my life and decision-making, sometimes overly so. I love spreadsheets and budgets and saving money. I always imagined that I would have a small wedding, mostly in order to save money for a home purchase, and also because I imagined only having family and close friends there. Fast forward to now when I'm actually planning, and it turns out that we have about 170 people that we truly care about and that we would love to invite. And I am getting more excited at the thought of a traditional wedding with all of our extended families present. We are going to look at an all-inclusive venue with a higher sticker price than I ever imagined spending on my wedding. I didn't think I would be a giddy wedding girl, but here I am. My wonderful, amazing parents will be paying for virtually all of the wedding. I am their only daughter, and they have been saving for my eventual wedding for years, since long before I ever met my fiancé. That's so sweet. They're very traditional. My parents aren't extremely wealthy, but they are great at planning their finances and have always been able to provide the family with what we need and want. They are happy to spend this money on the wedding of my dreams and happy to include extended family in the celebration, and I feel so blessed and don't want to take this for granted at all. This is my dilemma. Given that my parents always have a financial plan for the future, they raised me to do the same. In the 5 years since I have graduated college, I have diligently been saving for my future home. If my fiancé and I were to buy now, we'd be able to put down about 10%. I know that if I asked my parents to gift us the wedding funds to buy a house, they would be more than happy to give us the cash. Mm. This influx of cash would no doubt bring us to 20% on a home, which obviously would lessen our monthly mortgage, and we could avoid mortgage insurance. Am I thinking too much about the money that my parents are happy to spend on a wedding? I will only get married once, and I want to include everyone we love in our day. But I also want to set us up for long-term financial success. My fiancé wants whatever I want. He would get married in my parents' living room or at the courthouse if that's what would make me happy. Honestly, I think he thinks spending tens of thousands of dollars on a party is crazy, and he would rather have a house. But he knows that this will be a special day for both of us, and I will be happy and will be happy with whatever I decide. I think I'm hoping to hear that I should go all out on the wedding because it's our big day, our one big day. But I can't help feeling guilty about making the choice that feels financially irresponsible. Help. P.S. I love this girl. P.S. I love my new Chase Sapphire. And if we do have a big wedding, and if my parents let me have the credit card points, I will be able to cover almost the entire cost of the honeymoon with points.
Okay.
Good job.
Yes, she's thinking of it all. I said, hi, thank you for writing and listening. I can tell that I would like you if we met in person. I'm not a financial planner, but like you, I am pretty level-headed and forward-thinking in terms of finances. So it's just a little bit about me. But my husband and I have put a lot of money away every month for retirement, and I happily drive a shitty minivan that is fully paid for so that we can make room for the savings. And Michelle will attest to the fact that my minivan is, in fact, shitty.
I've been in it.
It's also very small, like shockingly small.
It's practical.
It is. It's practical and it's paid for. And, you know, you have to decide on the things you care about. I don't care about that.
And it's a, is it a stick shift?
No,
no,
but
it's
could
not.
Be.
It's a, It could be. I don't know why I can imagine.
I do know how to drive that.
Stick shift.
The decision and the way that you have laid it out is difficult. You've already weighed the pros and the cons a lot, and you can't even figure out the very best choice. So neither can I. But I will tell you that my family went on a Disney cruise a couple years ago, and it was a wonderful experience. We spent way, way too much money on it. We spent more than we thought we would. We spent more than we had planned on. We spent more than we had saved. We spent more than we were comfortable with once it was all said and done and added up. And if we had known ahead of time how much it was going to end up costing, I think we may have talked ourselves out of doing it. But we didn't know. And it was the trip of my kids' lifetime. I know that's not saying much, but it's not an exaggeration. They still talk about it years later like it was the best 7 days in the history of the world. They will have those memories forever. We will have those memories forever. I know this is different because you're considering what to spend big money on rather than whether or not you're going to spend it at all. And it's your parents' money going towards the wedding, but you can see where I'm going with this. That being said, I think you can and should maybe look for a middle ground compromise. Consider cutting the guest list so that it cuts the overall budget. You likely don't have 170 people that you love, keep in touch with, have seen in the last 2 years, and that will be in your life 2 years from now. Try to think about it that way. If you can, cut the guest list. And then you can try to put 15% down on the house, you know, rather than looking between 10 and 20, make that a compromise that you really just cut down the middle. As a homeowner myself, after many years of renting and saving, and I know, Michelle, you can attest to this too, I cannot even express how proud you are as an adult of your first home and your ability to pay for it. It is a massive feeling of accomplishment. And in my experience with my marriage, it was a mutual feeling for my husband as well. And it really did a lot for us as a couple. So you have a big decision in front of you. I think the good news is that you have an abundance of great choices. Whatever you decide, move forward with it confidently and enjoy the process. You rob yourself of joy when you hem and haw and spend time regretting or feeling guilty. So either way you go here, you are getting to live the dream. And that, I mean, that's a good thing. I hope this helps and keep us posted. And she did talk to us in our Zoom call that they went with somehow got to that 15% to put down on a house and still have a pretty big wedding.
So they're actually moving. So this is, and actually the more of the update is they're having the wedding and they're moving in with her parents, and her parents are so happy for them to move in with them. And so that's going to help them save even more money
to put 15, toward the house. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that says it here. Okay. So anyway, we were excited to hear about that, too. What lovely parents she has. She's got some good ones.
Yeah. And she did think closer to 120 for a guest list once you look at all things that an inclusive venue would offer and how expensive it is. And so they, you know, they gave a little bit on all sides. And I think it's good. I'm glad she wrote in, and I'm glad she had that kind of breakdown for herself ahead of time.
All right. Now we're going to wrap up here. One last thing. We got a wedding day retrospective from a listener, Brianna. We love these. It's helpful. I love this. They're trying to help out this community of listeners on the podcast and sharing what they did. So,
and she's a patron and like a frequent flyer on Zoom calls and Instagram Live. So it was great to hear from her about her wedding. If you've seen the picture on our grid with the bride that has dark hair and is in like a marbled yellow wedding dress, that's her.
Ugh, I love it. All right, let's split this up because it's a lot. I'll start. Here's a retrospective from Brianna. I heard Casey's retrospective on last month's Yawa, who I met at a Patreon cocktail hour. So it was so amazing to hear how her wedding turned out, and I wanted to add my own thoughts as a COVID bride. My now husband, Alex, and I got married on 10-10-2020. this year's most popular wedding date, which made pre-COVID wedding planning crazy enough. We got married at a country-owned venue in Roanoke, Virginia, with an original guest list of 75 and a final pandemic-reduced guest list of 34. Our original plan was to have an outdoor ceremony and an indoor reception, but after the pandemic hit, our venue put up a huge tent so we could move most of the reception outdoors, with very limited distanced seating indoors. But seeing as this is 2020 and nothing can go to plan, it ended up raining all day and we had to move everything back indoors anyway. At that point in Virginia, social gatherings were limited to 50% occupancy of the event space. But with our reduced guest list, we were closer to 25% and could still distance indoors. We took as many precautions as possible on the day. Face masks, hand sanitizer, small seating groups, etc. More than a month has passed since our wedding, and thankfully, none of our family, friends, or vendors got COVID as a result of our wedding. I can definitely breathe easier now. You want to continue?
My biggest takeaway is that I am so, so, so glad we downsized our wedding. I will forever be preaching the benefits of a small wedding, COVID or not. Oh, we preach too. You're preaching to the choir with us. We were actually able to talk to all of our guests and really spend time with everyone. During this very isolating year, it was such a blessing. My husband and I keep talking about how we loved the size and feel of our pandemic plan even more than we probably would have liked our original plan. That, and it really allowed our budget to go farther with fewer guests. We did a private dinner, just the two of us, while our guests were at cocktail hour, and it was definitely the best decision. It was the only time during the day we were left completely alone, and we were able to talk about our morning and just really soak up the fact that we were married. I wore a marbled yellow wedding dress, and I'm just here to tell any bride that doesn't want to wear white to absolutely go for it. Not to toot my own horn, but I looked amazing, and more importantly, I felt amazing, and it was so me, and everyone was supportive on the day. I swear my vendors were even more excited than I was. Our photographer was bummed for us that we didn't get to take sunset photos we had planned because of the rain, and offered to bring us back to our venue about a month later. I love this. Oh my goodness. I don't know why after sessions aren't a more common thing. It was so much fun. I absolutely loved putting my dress back on, and I'm already planning to wear it again on every anniversary until it doesn't fit anymore. I've shared some of the wedding day photos from both our big day and our sunset session. So thank you so much for all the guidance, inspiration, and love during my wedding planning process. I absolutely could not have done it without the podcast. I didn't have a wedding party and my family wasn't really involved in the planning, but listening to the podcast gave me an outlet for all wedding planning craziness in my head. You gave me so many ideas and tips and tricks along the way. I feel like you planned my wedding as much as I did. Yay.
I remember reading this email. I was in the car with Jose Luis and my in-laws. They were in the back seat and we were just parking at Costco. And I saw those pictures and I'm like, oh my, I had to show my mother-in-law. She loved the dress. And I loved it. Just this, we say this all the time. This is why we do this. We helped someone. You're sharing with others. Thousands of people are listening to this retrospective right now. It's just fucking amazing. So thank you for this. Thank you for just thank you.
Yes.
And congratulations.
And I love the bit about the after wedding session as well. It should be more of a thing. How amazing to get all dressed up again for photos that are more conducive to the type of photo that you want, even though it's not on the wedding day. And shout out to her photographer for doing that, whose name is on our Instagram page with credit as well. So thank you, everyone, for writing us. Thank you for listening in 2020 and beyond. And we will, we'll be here next year.
We'll be here next year and stay safe, stay healthy. I wish I could give all you a hug, and I'm not going to because that's not safe, but I am going to say I wish you so, so much health and joy and peace next year. I can't wait to see what next year has in store for us, for all of you listening. I can't wait to see those weddings that are rescheduled and hear more about what's going on and see your photos. We love you all so much. Thank you.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search The Big Wedding Planning Podcast Community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625 and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.